In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ, and especially the six of you, Jonathan, Ava, Ella, Max, Owen, and Kaylee. Do you remember sitting on your parents' lap and singing the song, "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb," with them? Whether or not you do, I'm sure your parents remember that. I know your parents, and at some point in your life, whether you were sitting on their lap or not, they probably sang the song, "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb," with you. Well, today, as you're getting confirmed, I want you to think of that moment. That moment when you were sitting on your parents' lap, that moment when you were singing with them the song, "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb," because on your confirmation day, there's no truth that's going to comfort you more than remembering the truth that that song proclaims to you, the truth that you are and always will be Jesus's little lamb. For did you notice the apostrophe on the word Jesus? You're Jesus's little lamb. Apostrophes are small, and so sometimes you can easily miss them. It's why I'm pointing this one out to you. So do you remember the apostrophe? Do you see the apostrophe on Jesus's name? For what does an apostrophe signal? An apostrophe signals possession. It signals ownership. It signals that whatever comes next belongs to it. That's when an apostrophe signals. It signals possession. And if an apostrophe signals possession, then isn't it amazing that there is an apostrophe on Jesus' name? Isn't it amazing that you are Jesus's little lambs? For that's not the way it should have been. You shouldn't have been Jesus' little lambs, and the same is true with me, not after the fall into sin anyways. For while it is true that our God created this entire world in 6 days with his powerful word, and so we can say along with the psalmist, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." God truly owns everything. While that is true, it is also true that the fall into sin ruined God's possession. In essence, the fall into sin, it erased the apostrophe in front of God's name. That's what the fall into sin did. For when Adam and Eve ate from the forbidden fruit, they made a choice with their own free will. They chose to listen to the devil as opposed to listening to God. They chose to follow their own desires as opposed to following the clear commands of God. And since that trait of sin was passed from Adam and Eve to their children, who then passed it to their children, and so on and so forth until your parents passed it on to you, since that trait of original sin has been passed on from generation to generation to generation, all of our free wills now make that fateful choice. Our free wills now want to choose to follow the devil as opposed to following God. They want to choose to follow our own desires as opposed to following the will and commands of God. It's why you just confessed you've broken all 10 of the commandments, right? And when you break those 10 commandments, it's so much more than just a little oopsie. It's so much more than just a mark that hinders you, but when you break the Ten Commandments, when your will listens to the devil and follows your own desires, do you know what we're actually doing? Whenever we sin, we are actually erasing that apostrophe from God's name. We are leaving God's possession so that we are all out there on our own, and what a terrifying thought that is. For if we are alone, if that apostrophe is not on God's name right in front of us, if we are all by ourselves, we know what would happen to us, right, if we're all alone? We know that on judgment day, we would be cast away from the presence of the Lord and into darkness forever. For God will not allow anyone to be in his presence who is not his possession, who does not belong to him. You know and believe and confess that truth. And so going back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this sermon, isn't it amazing that you can say, I am Jesus's little lamb? The apostrophe is right there on the name of Jesus. And how is that possible? How can you, a sinner, be Jesus's? How can I, a sinner, be Jesus's? How can anyone in this world who have all gone astray and all followed their own ways, how can anyone be Jesus's little lambs? Well, Jesus himself actually answers that question. In the opening words of our text, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd for the sheep. The shepherd for the sheep. And Jesus didn't lay down his life because someone strong came and took it away from him. He didn't lay down his life because it was the only possible choice he could make. No, he laid down his life willingly, by his own free will. For as Jesus himself says at the end of our text, I lay down my life so that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. And so if that's the authority that Jesus has with his life, if he can choose to lay down his life at any point, if he can choose to take back his life at any point, if that's the authority that Jesus has, well then why in all the world would he choose death? Why would he choose to lay down his life? In essence, it's all to place that apostrophe right back on his name. That's why he laid down his life. It's so that you can be a part of his possession once again. For remember, it's your sins that separate you from your God, right? It's your sins that make you away from God and outside of his flock. But Jesus doesn't want you to remain there. He loves you too much. And so, he did the one and only thing that could bring you back into his flock. He did the one and only thing that could make you a part of his possession again. He laid down his life for you. He laid it down so that he could take away your sins. For if he suffered the punishment for your sins, then he could take those sins away. That's what Jesus did. He laid down his life. And if that's what he did, if he laid down his life to remove all sins from you, that means that you can now be a part of his possession once again. You can be a part of his holy flock. How? Well, Jesus says that as well. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. There's only one way that you can be a part of the good shepherd's flock. And it's by knowing Jesus. It's by knowing his death, knowing his resurrection, knowing everything that he's done for you. That's the way you can become a part of Jesus's flock. And this knowing Jesus is not something that you have to do on your own. This knowing Jesus does not come from attending 90 or so catechism classes with your pastors, getting all the questions right, writing the perfect essay. None of those are the way that you really know Jesus. Instead, knowing Jesus happens when Jesus knows you first. When Jesus reveals himself to you, so that he can search for you, find you, cleanse you, and bring you back into his flock, which he first did through all of you through the waters of holy baptism, and which he now does both through the preaching of the word and from receiving his body and blood in holy communion. That's how you know Jesus. It is by Jesus revealing himself to you. And once you know Jesus, once Jesus reveals himself to you and searches for you and finds you and cleanses you and brings you back into his flock, once you know Jesus, well then Jesus will say something about you that is absolutely amazing. He will say something about you that I hope all of you, but especially you six, I pray that you can remember your entire life. Do you know what Jesus says about you? He says, you're mine. You belong to me, Jesus says. You are my sheep. You are my possession. You are my little lambs. And if that's what Jesus says about all of us, all of you, if he says about you, you are mine, you belong to me, well, then what do you have to be afraid of? You don't have to be afraid of the wolf of the devil. Not if you're Jesus's little lambs. For while it is true that the devil will continue to attack all of us, maybe even especially after your confirmation, for he hates what's happening here today. While it's true the devil will attack all of us, it is also true that Jesus is the shepherd, not the hired hand. He's not going to run away and flee in the opposite direction. Instead, when the devil attacks you, your good shepherd Jesus will run to your aid. He will fight for you, defend you, and keep you safe. That's what Jesus does for all of his little lambs. And in the same way, you don't have to be afraid of the wolf of sin, not if you're Jesus's little lambs. For while it is true that you will continue to sin, even after your confirmation, you're not going to be perfect. While it's true you'll continue to sin, it's also true Jesus has taken away those sins. Remember what he said 3 times in our text, I lay down my life for the sheep. And so matter what sins you've committed in the past, what sins you will commit in the future, know that any time you confess them, Jesus will be there with his blood, washing them away, forgiving them. That's what Jesus does for all of his little lambs. And finally, you don't have to be afraid of the wolf of death. Not if you're Jesus's. For while it is true that death is about the only thing that is certain in our future, while it is true that death may come to us a whole lot sooner than we think, you know you may die before you reach the end of your teenage years, right? It's also true that death has no power over you. You belong to Jesus, and Jesus didn't just lay down his life, he also took it back. He has power over death. And so even when you are dying, you do not need to be afraid. Jesus will be there, leading you to your ultimate goal, those green pastures of heaven, where you will dwell with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in complete perfection forever and ever without end. That's what Jesus does for all of his little lambs. And so do you see why I want you to think of sitting on your parents' lap and singing, I am Jesus's little lamb? Do you see why on your confirmation day, or really any day, there's no truth that's going to give us more comfort than the fact that we are Jesus's, apostrophe added. And so Jonathan and Ava, Ella and Max, Owen and Kaylee, you know that you'll still face some struggles in this world. There'll still be hardships and difficulties. There'll still be sin and guilt. There will still be stresses and anxieties and fears. Those things are not going away even after you've been confirmed. But you are different than so many people in this world. You know how to deal with whatever struggles may come into your life. It's not by yelling loudly so that people hear your opinion. It's not by getting your way. It is not by digging down deep inside of yourself or banding together with other human beings so that the human race can figure all this out. No. instead with any struggle that you face. It's important to remember who you are, who you belong to, whose flock you are dwelling in. For I promise you that no matter what comes into your life throughout the rest of your years, I promise you that you will be able to handle anything that may come your way. Because I know who you are. You know who you are. You know that right now and always, you will be Jesus's, right? Jesus's little lambs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we sing "The Create in Me" as found in the bulletin.